Roxy Bernstein?
Roxy Bernstein. Roxy's he's really a man of the world. He does a little bit of everything, play-by-play. You'll hear him hosting shows on my former station, 95.7 The Game, out in the Bay Area. He'll do a little Oakland A's baseball. Just, he's a jack of all trades.
If there's an
master of most.
If there's an under 12 game in Walnut Creek, if there's an under 12 game in Walnut Creek that needs a play-by-play guy and he's got a couple of free hours, he may do that before he does college baseball this weekend. He's just that kind of a guy.
Roxy, what's going on, man?
It's kind of like, you know, when you have Jimmy Soto there to make up for Bill's shortcomings during the men's defeat, right? Is that what you guys are getting at?
That is a perfect analogy, Roxy. That's, you know, sometimes when there's an absence, you just have to make up for it. And even if there's not an absence, someone can cover up the flaws. You put lipstick on that pig. what's your answer to that question? Whose absence, if we'll assume that both guys can't go, and hopefully that's not the case so we can get the best basketball tonight, but if Kyrie and Damari Carroll were both out, which team would that hurt more?
I think it hurts the Cavs more personally. I think Kyrie Irving is a real difference maker. Not that Carroll isn't, because Carroll certainly does a lot of things for the Hawks. But for me, I look at Kyrie Irving as one of the real young, bright players in this game and has an opportunity at times to take a game over, especially at the offensive end. I don't know if anybody can ever say that about Damari Carroll. He's a very good defender, and he's a lockdown guy. But for me, I think Kyrie Irving's the bigger loss.
It's going to be interesting to see if that injury to Carroll the other night looked horrific in real time. If he's able to go and even try and go tonight, that's – if he's even out on the court, you know, we see this sometimes in sports. I don't know that it can last over four quarters. That could be a real mental lift tonight, I think, Roxy, for the Atlanta Hawks, if he can even get out there and try and give it a go at 75%.
Yeah, in the short term, I think, you know, guys can rally around him because they can see he's putting the team ahead of himself and that he's trying to do anything he can do to help his team. And I think that does give a lift to everybody else in the locker room. When they see what he's going through and just trying to even play with what he's dealing with, I think that pays big dividends psychologically and mentally for the Hawks, should he be able to give them anything tonight.
Roxy, the Bay Area has had a lot of reason to celebrate their sports in the last five, 6 years. You know, the Giants winning some titles and the 49ers were good for a while. What's it like with Golden State on the verge of maybe a Western Conference championship and having an MVP and maybe even an NBA championship outright this year? Are people as excited about the basketball team for the Bay Area as they would be if it were baseball or football?
I think they're almost even more excited because, OC, you know the Bay Area so well. You have two football teams in the Bay Area. You have two baseball teams in the Bay Area. There's only one hoops team, and that Warrior team just unifies the entire community. Regardless if you're a Niner, a Raider fan, Giants, A's fan, you're a Warriors fan. And I think that's what's kind of lost in all this. And the Bay Area is such a great basketball area, whether it's Oakland, whether it's San Francisco, and their tradition. And it's been 39 years since the Warriors were even in the Western Conference Finals. And even when they had those dog teams, there were some really lean, bad years for the Warriors. And people still showed up because they love their hoops in the Bay Area. So for me, I think this is almost as big, if not bigger, than when the Giants won the World Series or even the 49ers won the Super Bowl, considering this is the one team that everybody pulls for.
Who's the biggest sport? Is Steph Curry the biggest sports figure in the Bay Area right now? You just mentioned football, basketball, baseball, hockey. San Francisco is an iconic market with iconic sports figures. Is Steph the biggest thing in that town?
I think he is right now, Bill, because when you look at the turmoil and the struggles the 49ers had this year and comings and goings of players, Patrick Willis surprised everybody and retires. And I mean, is Colin Kaepernick really the face of the 49ers? And, you know, Frank Gore leaving. And you look at the Giants, okay, maybe you could make the argument for Buster Posey that he maybe is the guy in the Bay Area But what Steph has accomplished this season and what he began to do last year, carrying it over to this year, I think he has become and taken that mantle as the guy in the Bay Area that everybody rallies around. So, yeah, I think he is at that point, Bill, where he is the man in the Bay Area.
Is this going to be a heartbroken fan base if there isn't an NBA championship delivered this year? I mean, is it championship or bust, truly?
I think there'll be a lot of disappointment. I don't know if it'll be devastating in terms of people can't recover from this. Oh, what are we going to do? Because we got to that threshold and it's been so long. But I really think that it'll be a huge disappointment considering how strong a regular season the Warriors had, how dominant they were in the regular season, to be this close and to have it right there on your fingertips. I think it would be extremely dejecting and deflating, but I don't know how devastating it would be considering there's an expectation now that this isn't just a one-year phenomenon, that the Warriors are going to 1 year, okay, we're going to make a push and this is it. This is our window for opportunity. We got to do it now. I think it's going to be set up for the next 4 or 5 years that the Warriors are going to be right there, considering you look at the youth of Curry, of Thompson. I think they're going to be committed to sign Draymond Green long-term, and Harrison Barnes is a young player. So there is a young nucleus that the Warriors can have for a number of years to try to win, not just a championship this year, but to be in contention for a number of years.
Our good friend Roxy Bernstein, broadcaster of many locations, and you see him doing A's games on the radio. You'll see him on ESPN, hear him on ESPN Radio, Pac-12 Network stuff as well. Wanted to ask you, Roxy, speaking of the Pac-12, you do a lot of stuff with the Pac-12. We got word this week from the network, University of Utah and Oregon State are going to be the two teams featured on the drive during football season this year. You're a guy that covers the league. You know Utah, but that programming, how big a bump and how big a deal for Kyle Whittingham's program is it, do you think, to be on the drive?
I think it's a huge deal, Bill, because it allows people an inside look of what it's like to be in the program. People have their ideas, perceptions. You know, you look at what Jim Mora had with the drive around UCLA, and Todd Graham, how he used it as momentum the first year that the Pac-12 networks tried it. It can really be a program boost, not only for your fan base, so they can see what you're trying to accomplish, but also the future student-athletes you're trying to bring into the program, the high school kids that you're recruiting. What's it going to be like to play for Kyle Whittingham? What's it going to be like to be a student-athlete at the University of Utah? What's practice like? What's the locker room like? And I think that's why programs are so anxious to do it, because when they have such a good face, like Kyle does, that I think it can only be a humongous help for a football program to have this type of documentary centered around your team for a season.
I think we probably all agree that it's a very well-done series. And last year when the announcement was made that it was going to be UCLA, I remember thinking, all right, this is cool. I'm going to get to see what this Brett Hundley guy is really about. And then they told not just Brett's story, but kind of, you know, Eric Kendricks and Miles Jack and stories of a lot of the other players. Is there a particular individual or a particular coach or anybody whose story you're excited to see for Utah on the drive or even for Oregon State?
From the Oregon State side, OC, I'm looking forward to just to getting to know Coach Anderson. Now, you guys certainly were around him when he was at Utah State, so you know a little bit about him. But for somebody like me, I only saw him from a distance when he was winning in Utah State, when he was at Wisconsin. So I'm anxious to see, from that perspective, Oregon State, how it's done, and how can they recover from losing such a quality program building quarterback in Sean Mannion, and how are they going to pick up the pieces with a brand new program? And certainly there is going to be a changeover with defensively in Utah with Kalani Sitake moving on. So I think that's intriguing to me. And that's the thing, as you brought it up, these great stories, and it's not always about the Brett Hundleys of the world, the superstar players, the feature players on teams. There's great backstory in a number of kids, and when they're told, sometimes it can really bring emotions out of you. I know I broke down a couple times when I was seeing that story about Duarte UCLA.
Talking to Roxy Bernstein this afternoon here on the Bill and OC Show on ESPN 700. Since we're kind of touching on a bunch of different things, basketball's hit its hiatus. Signings have come and gone. We find out Jakob Poeltl returns to Utah. Cal has a big, big-time recruiting class this year, landing a couple of top 10 recruits. Arizona loses a bunch. What's your kind of off-season big-picture look at Pac-12 basketball, especially at the top?
I just think how good this league is going to be next year. And it was a little bit top-heavy this year. I think there's going to be more depth to it next year. And more teams, I think, that will really be in contention as far as making a splash and making a deep tournament run, should things fall their way. You alluded to Utah. Okay, yeah, you have to find a way to replace DeLon Wright. But there's a great nucleus for Coach Kukoyak bringing back that group that Larry has. And you mentioned Cal. And Tyrone Wallace electing to stay and a play with the two McDonald's All-Americans that are coming in, and Ivan Rabb and Jaylen Brown. I was shocked a ton of people by saying he was going to Cal, turned down Kentucky. Everybody wanted that kid. And Arizona, how they're going to reload. Because, okay, yeah, they lost a lot, but there's an unbelievable class coming in as well. So it's not like people are going to be feeling sorry for Sean Miller. He's got talent. And Colorado's an interesting team to me because they were in turmoil this year. I don't think chemistry-wise everything was good from a standpoint of internally and with Askia Booker there. I think with him gone and Josh Fortune, the transfer from Providence, will have a big impact on them. I expect Colorado to bounce back this year. And I think Oregon's going to have a very good year. They had a young nucleus last year, plus you had a good class that they have brought in. So I think from top to bottom, guys, the Pac-12 makes a big leap back into the national spotlight and will be there with in contention with these teams making possible deep tournament runs.
You mentioned DeLon Wright. Obviously, the Utes have to find a way to replace him, but a lot of fans around here are going to be following where he lands in this NBA draft. And, you know, there's projections putting him anywhere in the kind of the latter 10 picks of that first round. And a lot of projections have him landing in Cleveland even as a potential backup to Kyrie Irving. Do you like that fit?
I do. And if it's me, I'm taking him higher than the final 10 picks of the first round. I think he's better than that. And I think his game will translate well to the NBA just because of how versatile he is, how well he defends, how well he handles the ball. That's why I think, okay, if you're taking him the final 5 to 10 picks of the first round, you're getting a steal. He's a middle of first round guy as far as I'm concerned.
I think his age is the one thing that hurts him there. I think the fact that he's 23 keeps him from going top 15, top 18 versus the last. I don't know that that's right or wrong, especially in a league where you may only play 3 or 4 years anyway. I'd rather have a guy, especially if I'm a team that's not drafting in the lottery, I'd rather have a guy that's ready to go rather than a guy that might not be ready for a year or two.
And I think there's some concerns, Bill, about how he shoots. And can he knock down the NBA three? And can he be a consistent outside threat presence in the NBA? So, and that'll be determined. But, you know, he had a brother that played in the NBA, so he understands what it's going to be like to carry yourself as a professional. I think that goes a long way. And once GMs and player personnel people get around to talking to DeLon, and you know this as well as anybody, Bill, that there's not a better kid or delightful person to talk to, and that's why I think that people, he'll win them over in the interview process also.
Talking to Roxy Bernstein here on the Bill and O.C. Show. Rox, you're the mayor of Rose Park because you are the mayor of one place that everybody loves to go over in that area, and that's, of course, the Red Iguana. When will you be coming back to Salt Lake City again to treat us to a great night at the Red Iguana?
You know, I was supposed to come back a couple of weeks ago, and my A's duties pulled me off an assignment from Pac-12 Network. I was supposed to be in town for Utah-USC baseball. So that was my biggest disappointment, was I was not going to get an opportunity to go there. So it looks like now if I win a conversation at home with my wife, I'll be in town when Rush plays there at the Maverick Center in Salt Lake City. So, and we've already talked about our pregame show. Our warm up will be at Red Iguana, getting ready for the show.
All right, very good. Well, OC and I will try and join you there for that. Have a great call this weekend on your games, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, guys, take care.